We're going to start a series, and it's in regard to some things that we have learned more in depth. Now, we have some teachings already on certain things of like spiritual roots and assortment of teachings in that area, you know. And what we want to do is we want to get some truth. We want to get a little understanding. I want to just share a couple things, because the things that we're getting, we want to be able to give. Amen. That's an important factor in our life, is who we are, and in not only getting but being able to give. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to touch in a few areas. We are going to have some things going on every single night. You'll be given certain assignments to do. We'll have corporate deliverance, and we'll be praying for one another and so forth. What I encourage each and every one in here is don't hold back. Okay? Don't hold back. Let God be God and you be His children. Amen? Sister Beth will be teaching one night, being a nurse that she is, about the understandings between the thoughts and what happens in the spiritual arena. We'll have certain, like I said, there'll be certain teachings each and every night. A little bit of teaching, a little bit of deliverance, certain prayers and whatever. What we want to be able to do is get everybody in God's presence. Amen. That's our number one important thing. Amen. Is getting people in God's presence. So I just want to share a little bit right now. If you'll turn to John 10. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. Glory to God. I guess I better sit while I can. Oh. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, in verse 7, would you read that with me? Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." Now we know that the greatest miracle that there is salvation. That is the greatest miracle. But, you know, some of us need miracles in our life. Whether it be even deliverance and healing is a miracle of God. Amen. Now, there are manifested miracles, which are reconstructive miracles, which somebody arm might grow back, an ear might grow back, inner organs may grow back, but, you know, we can't limit God. You know, and what we want to do is be able to build our faith up to the area where God can move in our life, and no matter what it is. Remember, Jesus went to a place where there was little faith and he couldn't do miracles. Now, this was Jesus. Because there's a connection between faith. Faith draws miracles. Has everybody got it? Amen. Faith draws miracles. Depending upon your faith. Now, does it always happen that way? No. Because there are people that had no faith at all and God healed them, right? I mean, there are people that, let me tell you something also. There are unbelievers who have been healed by Jesus and didn't accept him. So we can't limit that to just that area of faith, amen? But regardless of that, we are people of faith here, and we want to raise our faith to reach an area where God can move. Even someone who's not a believer, if you're expressing them and you're giving testimony, what are you actually doing? You're actually increasing their faith to believe, aren't you? So regardless of what, faith is behind it, no matter what, isn't it? And we want to be able to reach this area where we can walk in faith. Jesus said, "Those who abide in me and I in him, even the works that I do, they'll do even more." So this is not just about us. It's about others. But first, we've got to get it, right? We've got to get it. So, In verse 9 it says, or in verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The shepherd comes to give life. The thief is what we call deception. The thief is the things that people don't see. That's called darkness. The serpent, the devil, Satan. Those are things that we're not fighting. The word says we're not fighting flesh and blood, but powers of darkness, correct? And the thief likes to bring people in bondage. Well, let me share something with you. It says that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. You know, I remember my mother saying to me as a young child, she said, son, I would do anything to have good health. She said, all the money in the world could not bring me health. You can have all the money in the world, and it won't do any good if you don't have your health. Does everybody understand that? So money doesn't bring you health. Amen. Money doesn't bring you health. Only Christ brings you health. Now, are there people that have walked healthy and so forth without Christ for a period of time? Yes. But most of the time, people who do not know Jesus, as they perish, they either go to hell, don't they? But those who know Him go to heaven. So we know that the greatest miracle is salvation, isn't it? But were there be witnesses, were there be signs and wonders? God desires that we walk in health. It's not God's perfect will to heal us. It's God's perfect will that we never get sick. Hello? But yes, He does heal, doesn't He? Now, sometimes He heals in different ways, doesn't He? Sometimes it's instantaneously. Sometimes it's a process. Is everybody with me? But, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do, because Jesus said that He is the good shepherd, and He came to bring life and life more abundantly. Because life abundantly is actually freedom of sickness, isn't it? It's freedom of poverty. You know, for life abundantly, I look at the first thing is, of course, my relationship with the Lord. We know that. But the other thing is a healthy, abundant life. Then, of course, I desire a wealthy, abundant life and a wise, abundant life. Amen? So that we can utilize the things that God has given us to help other people. So, sickness may not just be physical, it could be mental, couldn't it? Amen? Most of sicknesses are, 80% of most sicknesses and diseases are related to spiritual roots. One of the major problems of sicknesses and diseases which is related is anxiety, stress, and fear. And it's a proven fact. Even the clinical world, the clinical medical field realizes that stress and anxiety and fear are a major factor of people's sicknesses, because what it does is open doors to demonic activity. But they don't understand that. What they're trying to do is medicate, right? They're trying to manage sickness. We don't want to manage sickness or addiction. We want to be free from it. And that's what this whole session is going to be about. We want to be free from it. So there are certain spiritual roots, and we have a teaching called Spiritual Roots. We're not going to get real in depth in these. We're going to go to certain areas. We're going to give you sheets that are associated with spiritual roots where you're going to make confessions and so forth. In fact, for your homework assignment tonight, I want everyone to read Deuteronomy 28. Amen? Deuteronomy 28. Everybody reads it. Not now. Tonight. Don't go ahead. Don't, okay? So we'll be reading Deuteronomy 28 tonight so we can get more understanding as we gather together tomorrow. Go to John 14. John chapter 14. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 6, would you read it with me? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now there's that word life again, right? We want that abundant life. He said, no one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, from whom now you have known him. And have seen him, because he was actually the Father, wasn't he? He was God the Father. So we see that the way, the truth, and the life, this is a representation also of a process, isn't it? The way, the truth, and the life. It's a representation of a process for me and you. Those are also representation of chambers of the tabernacle of God in the Old Testament. The outer court was known as the way. The inner court was known as the holy place. And then there was another one of an inner court known as the Holy of Holies, where the spirit, the tabernacle of God was, where the Spirit of the Lord was there. So we see we have the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies, where life was given. So we see that for us to receive abundant life, we've got to go through a process to walk in that arena in the Holy of Holies, or to touch that arena of life, where life is given to me and you. Now let me share something with you. Again, if you're walking in sickness, disease, addiction, and torments of the mind or in the soul, if you're bound by oppression, depression, or possession, hello? If you're hindered by demonic activity, that's bondage. That is not freedom. Amen. That's not freedom. So you and I must, we're going to build our faith up so we can go through this process and touch the Holy of Holies and get in the presence of God, where life can be brought to us. And sometimes it's a process. In other words, sometimes it's like going through a car wash. You got to go through a few times until your need is met. But God promises that He does exceedingly abundantly far above all we could ever ask or think. Sometimes it's not always according to the way we want it. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. Bye, baby. As my little girl. As a miracle. God rescued her. Hallelujah. I thank God because she rescues me. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And 2 Kings, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. 2 Kings chapter 5. And in verse 9, there was a man, Naaman. He was a man that was sick. He was a commander of the army of King Assyria, and he had leprosy. He was a devout man, and the king basically loved him. He honored this man. So he sent a letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel got a little freaked out, asking him to heal him. And the king of Israel tore his garments, and he said, "What is this? I can't heal him." But Elijah was the prophet of Israel, wasn't he? When Elijah found out about it, he said, "Why don't you send them to me?" So here, in verse 9, Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Now, biblically speaking, the number 7 means complete and perfect. Amen? Complete and perfect. And so, basically, if you think about it, here Elijah didn't even see the man, did he? He sent his servant. Because when God sends His word, the word says that God sent His word to heal our diseases. The whole thing is being able to receive it. And that's why we're building our faith up to receive, aren't we? Not just accept. There's a difference between accepting and receiving. Many of us can accept a lot of things. Most of us accept that it's okay for them, but it's not for me. Now, receiving means you as an individual. You. Okay? But Naaman became furious in verse 11 and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." So he was expecting to go to the front door of Elijah, ring the doorbell, right? Elijah was going to come out and wave his hand over this man, call on the name of the Lord, and it would have been over with. Well, that's not exactly the way it happened. But in his mind, he was expecting that. And there are many ways that you and I expect God to heal us. But it's not always that way, is it? But he will if we won't lose heart. So, in verse 12, he says, are not the Abana and the Pharpah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. He was upset. How many of you all been angry with God because he didn't do what you wanted him to do? Go ahead, you can all lift your hands or repent. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, you know, so God always puts somebody around you to tell you, come on now. Said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more than when he says you wash and be clean? It was that simple, wasn't it? So he went down and he dipped. He humbled himself, didn't he? And he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Something happened, didn't it? What did he do? He obeyed. He got out of the way, right? Like I said, sometimes things don't work according to the way you expect them to do. But if we'll listen and we'll obey, God will meet us every time. Turn to the book of Acts. In chapter 3. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3. Now we're talking about Jesus saying, I am the way, truth, and life. And as I expressed to you, it's a representation of the Old Testament tabernacle where it's the outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And there's this process. Now, the outer courts was a representation of the sacrifice. Jesus said, I am the way because he was the sacrifice by blood. Right? He said, I am the truth, because the word says the truth sets you free. And I am the life, because the spirit of life dwells there. Is everybody all right there? So the first process that you and I must go to is begin to go to the ministry of repentance. Because there are things in our life and things of our ancestors that have either come down the line or that you and I have committed that have opened the door to the powers of darkness. And the only way it can be washed is through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. Does everybody understand that? And in Acts chapter 3, hallelujah, in verse 19, if you'll read it with me, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we want to get in God's presence, but we can't just get in God's presence without repentance. It's not about getting in God's presence. It's about God's presence getting in us. Has everybody got it? Then what prevents God's presence from getting in us? Sin. Sin. It separates us from God. It doesn't separate God from us. It separates us from God. All right, so we see repentance. You know, when the refreshing is an expression of relief. Did you ever know that when you get refreshed, you get relieved? It's like, whoa, whew, all right. Oh, man, I needed to get this refreshing. You know, when you're out there sweating and whatever, you dive in a cool pool, man, what a refreshing it is. You get revived and so forth. Well, so many people are brought down by addictions, brought down by torment of the mind, oppression, they're brought down by sicknesses and diseases, aches and pains. They're brought down by certain things that have afflicted them. But when healing comes, there's a refreshing that comes with it. A complete refreshing. So that you can go do the things you used to be able to do. And many of us want to be able to get to that place and do the things that we used to be able to do in health. But you're going to go beyond that. It's not about just doing the things you used to do. It's about being able to give to others so that they can do it also. Amen? So the first ministry that has been brought to us is the ministry of repentance. We must be willing to repent for our sins. Now, sin is not just an act. It's a presence. And we have a teaching on that too. Sin is the presence of demonic activity, isn't it? It's not just an act. Okay, go to Hosea 6. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Come, let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. In other words, he's going to fix us up. You know, I was in a prayer meeting one time, and this gentleman who just made a simple prayer, he said, Father, fix it. Fix it. And God fixed it. I forgot. I don't know, remember who, if he was praying for someone or whatever. We were all praying for, I think we were all praying for someone, and everybody was quoting scriptures and everything. And came to this man and he said, simple prayer, Father, please just fix it. And that's what he's doing. He's going to fix us. It's God's desire to fix us in every area of our life. Amen? Turn to James 5. So we need to turn to the Lord. You know, there are many people who are willing, it blows my mind that there are people who are willing to die in their sickbed and not accept Jesus Christ. Well, they're not a believer anymore, are they? Because there's no believers in hell. Everyone's a believer in hell. Oh, hallelujah. You got to believe in the natural realm so you don't get put in hell in the spiritual realm, right? Because once you get in the spiritual realm, it's too late. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of James. Right, there's no believers in hell. They're all believers now. Glory to God. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Hello? It says, let him pray. In other words, you must, you know, most people who are very sick and ill, majority of them, unless they're just willing to accept death and die in their sickness, most of them, at some time or another, in fact, sickness, sometimes in that last, that's why hospital ministry is very important, because it's a good place to rescue people. You know, because they're on their deathbed. And they have, you know, this is it. And many people come to ministries and they come to healing services because they've tried every medical arena. They've tried all doctors. Even in the Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood who bled for so many years. And she was poor. She spent all her money on all medical and secular healings. And she touched the hem of the garment of Christ, and he healed her. And he said, your faith has made you well. You know, your faith has made you well. And so many times, so many people in the representation here is let him pray. It's in other words, humble yourself. People finally have to go to God because they're willing to humble themselves. And it's circumstances that cause them to finally come to God. It says, if any among you suffering, let him pray. Well, suffering is a representation of physical, soulish, or mental, and spiritual sickness. If any cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In other words, go to the church. You know how many people go to the doctor? Hallelujah. Go to the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning doctors. I believe God brought forth doctors. And there are certain things that we need for doctors, isn't there? But we first must go to God. We must first go to God. because so many people are dying because of medication. So it's helping one area, but it's not curing it. But the side effects of medication are phenomenal. My mother died of side effects of medication. They kept her alive, but she didn't live healthy. She wasn't healed. She wasn't cured. What it did is it managed her sickness for about 40 or 50 years. I don't know. But she was 70-something when she died. But, you know, I remember she could never do the things as I grew up. Even when I was going to baseball games, she could never... She always had to have help and all kinds of things, you know. She would become weak. She could only last so long at a baseball game or whatever it was. She lived a terrible life in that arena because of sickness. So I got to see it firsthand. And many of us have got to see it firsthand in other people's lives who are bound by sickness and can't live a full life. That's not life abundant, is it? Amen. Addiction isn't life abundant. Torment is not life abundant. You know how many people come to Jesus and then they expect everything to be done? When Jesus said, listen, I am the way, truth, and life, in other words, there is a process. He said, I came to give you a sword. This sword is meant for you. The thing that you and I are rescued from is the curse of the law. And then everything else is available to me and you. Now, it's our responsibility to go get it. Amen? You can't force a dog to eat the food. You put the dog bowl out there with the food in it, and the dog goes and gets it. Then he eats it, doesn't he? That's why Jesus said, those who eat of my flesh and drink of my blood will have everlasting life. Amen? It says that's why he says, he who draws near to me, I will draw near to him. Hallelujah. In verse 15, would you read it with me? And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Now, what's the prayer of the faith? It's someone who knows the truth. Right? And the Bible says many will fall from, in the latter days, from the what? Faith. That's a representation of truth, isn't it? Being led by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Another false truth. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will what? Be forgiven. He says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what we're going to do in here tonight is you're going to get a partner. You're not going to lay hands on them. You're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for each other. And for the rest of this week, you're going to take this partner's name, and every single day, you're going to pray that God delivers this person, heals this person, prospers this person, positions this person, so that this person becomes a pillar in the temple of God and a trophy for His glory. Does everybody get it? You're going to take one specific person personally, and you're going to stand in the gap for that person, and that person's going to stand in the gap for you all week long. Amen. That's what the Word says. We're going to go according to the Word. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Some of us have issues that we've been still running from. We're going to ask God to expose our own issues so we can get rid of them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Don't run now. And don't start searching out what you're going to try to make excuses for. Just repent. And get healed. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, isn't that a process? If he says, be anxious for nothing, that's a process. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Rejoice always. You know, so many people have lost their joy. You know, people bound by sicknesses and diseases and addictions and torment, they don't have too much joy. Most of us were out there miserable. Come on. We tried to fulfill ourselves by works, money, drugs, pornography, lust. Amen? False replacements for the Holy Spirit. False replacements for the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? People have gone, and let me tell you, the world loves to label individuals with mental illnesses, bipolar, schizophrenia, all of these wonderful labels that they're not sure of themselves, only theories. Hello? And then they medicate them. What do? They dope them up and put them out of the way. It's nothing but false Holy Spirit. That's why drugs is a representation of pharmakia, known as black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Amen? Because what does the drug do to you? It brings deception to your body. Your body doesn't get healed, does it? No. Prozac and all those other things. That's the first thing they want to give out to somebody. Here, have a Prozac. They promote it. I mean, they promote it on TV. I mean, everywhere you look, they got these powerful commercials about drugs, don't they? I mean, whoa, you know, you think something powerful is going to happen. And then they got that one guy, you know, walking down, you know, and he finally sees his girlfriend and they're all smiling. Hi, I just left the doctor. Whoa, I got something that we can party with. You know, well, supposedly to up his sex drive. If you get rid of the demons, he wouldn't have the problem. Hello? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hopefully the girl he went up to was, it was his wife. I don't know. Every time I've ever seen that commercial, I always looked for a ring, you know. You know, I mean, you know, the world is trying to promote. I mean, look what's going on. Look at AIDS. You know, that's nothing but a curse, isn't it? Amen? That's a curse. Now, some people have gotten it through a blood transfusion, haven't they? Without committing that sin. But because they've touched an unclean thing through the blood, they got it too, didn't they? Amen? Oh, we'll get more into that later. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 31. Would you read it with me? Therefore do not what? Worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what shall we do, or how shall we do it, or when shall we do it? Hello? There's a little bit more than just this. You know, I mean, people get real stressed out. Man, how come this isn't happening the way this should be, and this, da, 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 da. People get stressed out, don't they? Real easy. Things aren't happening according to the way they want. Then we move out of position. And it opens the door for fear, anxiety, and stress. And it affects your physical arena. It says, but what? For after all these things the Gentiles, or the worldly ones, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. You don't think He knows that you need to be healed. You don't think that He knows that you need to be delivered or refreshed or whatever. Of course He does. What's He trying to do? He's trying to position us into a place where we can get it. He's working for us, not against us. In verse 33, but it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Wow, that's simple enough. Seek the ways of God and his what? Righteousness. Well, what produces righteousness? First, you got to repent for your unrighteousness. Then righteousness starts to flourish. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. What? Health, wealth, wisdom. All of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't be concerned about anything. Deal what's on your table right now. Amen? Deal what's on your table right now. So we see we're going to seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's a part of that process. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Does everybody understand that? That's the essence of everything. That's why when Jesus came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the essence of everything in our life. It's going through this process. Has everybody got it? So we enter his courts, right? The word says enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Okay, we'll talk about that. But before you can even enter his court, you need to repent. The blood of Jesus washes you so that you can enter the court. Has everybody got that? Okay. So that's the outer court, isn't it? Go to John 8. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 8. In verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. The truth shall make you free. Now that's the holy place, isn't it? Truth makes us free. In fact, if you go to Hosea 4:6, praise God. You know we couldn't pass this one up. Glory to God. Hosea 4:6. You know, there are so many people that are messed up. Somebody gave them a Bible years ago. It's still hanging out in their shelf or in their closet collecting dust. And God has a healing word for them right in their own house, and they don't even know it. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, which represents lack of truth. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So we see God's people are destroyed for lack of truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn to John chapter 4. What are we doing? We're going through the process. You got to learn. You got to first understand the process before you can get started. And that's what we want to do. We want to understand the process. The process was given. The Lord told Moses that he wanted to dwell with man. What did he do? He said, listen, build me a tabernacle. Build me a place I can hang tough. You know, build me a place I can hang out and meet your needs. You know, when the Jews were taken out of bondage, out of Egypt, every one of them was healed. Nobody left there sick. Has everybody got that? Nobody left there sick. And then when they went into the wilderness, they didn't need anything. Everything was supplied to them. The only thing that prevented them from going forth to the promised land was their grumbling and complaining. And what was it? Fear. Fear? Fear of not getting. Fear of not getting. That's what they walked in. Remember, the devil's weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Amen? They were anxious for everything. Even the signs and wonders that they saw. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? John 4? Thank you. John 4 and verse 19. And the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Of course she thought that because he snagged her on living with four or five guys prior to, and she said, you know, he caught her in shacking up with guys, you know, all of these previous ones. And so she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she said, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." In other words, it's not a place where you worship. It's a heart of worship. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Who's seeking them? The Father. Specifically, the Father is seeking those who will worship Him. He says God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now we see something. We've just come from the outer, in other words, repentance allowed us to go into the outer court, didn't it? All right? Repentance allowed us to come in. He says, now, worship. Now we're going to truth. Truth is the holy place. All right? So now that we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've repented for our sins, it allows us in the outer courts. And that Bible tells us to enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise. We're entering. We're going forward. We're going through the process. So this process of repentance and grabbing truth is a process which is going to lead to life and freedom. Does everybody understand that? You can't have one without the other. It is a process. Repentance, truth. Repentance, receiving truth. Repentance, receiving truth. That's, hallelujah. And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said, "I who speak to you am He." He probably had to throw some water on her afterwards, you know. He doesn't tell you about that, though. You know? I mean, you don't know. I just say, you know. I mean, she probably freaked out then. "You're Him? Whoa. Praise God." So we see it, and it's not about a place of worship, but it's about a heart of worship and truth and in spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody all right? Amen. Some of this we know. Some of this we need to review. We need to be reminded. In verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Some of us have sowed things and reaped. Some of us are still reaping on the things that we sowed. Right? "For he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh," reap what? Corruption. Corruption in the flesh. You think that might be sickness? Amen. Think that might be disease? You think that might be addiction? Amen. "But he who sows to the Spirit," you notice the word Spirit is capital. It means the Spirit of God. Not your spirit. And not anybody else's spirit. And not an evil spirit or unclean spirit. Not sowing to a medium or a psychic. Or the horoscopes. Or the telescopes, right? Looking for... Hallelujah. But it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, "We'll reap of the Spirit," which is what? Everlasting life. How many of y'all want to reap life? Yeah. Amen. That means you're going to walk in the abundance of life that Jesus promised us. Health, wealth, and wisdom. Praise God. Now, I'm not getting off on a tangent of prosperity. Do you understand it? I'm not going to teach about prosperity. But God desires that we would prosper. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. It's the love of money that's the root of evil. Amen. Hallelujah. We need more wealthy believers. So the kingdom of God, I mean, you can't do anything without money, right? But you can get healed without money. Hallelujah. You can get healthy without money. Praise God. But it's difficult to expand the kingdom of God without being able to purchase things and so forth. So verse 9, would everybody read this with me? And let us not grow weary. Say that again. And let us not grow weary. One more time. And let us not grow weary while doing good. In other words, while going through this process. For in due season we shall reap if we do not what? So we can't lose heart. That's why we have that teaching about walking it out. You know? Walking it out. We talk about the 8 hours and so forth of walking it out. So we want to walk it out. We want to continue, don't we? We want to get into the Holy of Holies, this process that we're going through. Go to Psalm 100. In verse 4 and 5, please. Would you read it with me? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So we got to understand that worship is a powerful thing, isn't it? Worship is getting in God's presence. It says, who may enter the mountain of God? But he who has a pure heart, pure mind, and clean hands. That means you got to repent first so the blood can wash us. All right? For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 103. We're on this process of getting into the Holy of Holies. It's a continuous process, isn't it? As we begin to repent and God begins to reveal to us truths of our life, of our past and certain things that we have done to break these curses off, the Spirit of God will have access. Psalm 103, would you read it, verses 1 through 5? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Don't forget his benefits, okay? Who forgives your iniquities, your sins. He forgives us. Who heals your what? Your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's refreshed. That's healed. That's a new life. That's a life abundantly, isn't it? That's a powerful psalm. That's a powerful psalm. I encourage you, even during this session, review some of these psalms, like especially this one, 103, building your faith up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 16 and 17. Read it with me. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what?
Spirit.
Who's the Lord?
Spirit.
Well, isn't that something? The Lord is the Spirit? Amen. What are we trying to do? We're going through that process. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? We're going in that process. The outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies, where the Spirit of God is, where he dwells. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. So wherever the Spirit of God has access to me and you, there's healing, isn't there? There's deliverance. There's refreshing. Let me show you. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. But it all starts with what? Repentance. And then truth. I am the way, the truth, and then life manifests. See, we got to send this out to all the doctors. We'll introduce them to Dr. Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 16. You know, there are certain specific areas in our life that we don't know that are still hindering us. Because deception prevents you from knowing it, doesn't it? Hallelujah. It's not the rapture. First Samuel 16 and verse 23. And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, which was there was a demon hindering and tormenting spirit because of his disobedience, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. And then Saul would become what? Refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Well, you know what happened? He got refreshed. Why? Because he got healed and delivered. He got refreshed. Where? In God's presence. How did it start? Because David would play the harp and usher in the presence of God. But because of Saul's disobedience, that spirit, that demon would keep coming back. Amen? So we see repentance, truth, worship brings us into that place. Remember, everything is available for me and you. The benefits are there of health, wealth, and wisdom. Everything's available for me and you. Go to Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. For all you guys that have colds and touched something cursed, you can get healed tonight. Remember, there are three types of curses: inherited, self-imposed, and temporary. Inherited from ancestral things, self-imposed from sins committed, and temporary are those things that you touched that brought sickness that are temporary. Colds, viruses, and flus. Those are temporary, aren't they? Hallelujah. Now, you know, I don't want you to take this out of context as for in other words, if my daughter is sick, I'm going to pray for her. Amen. She quotes some scriptures. Amen. If she continues to stay sick, I'm not going to wait for God to heal her, because she could die. You know why? Because God gave me wisdom to do certain things. See, so many people tempt God. Do you understand? You do what God has put before your table while you're being healed. So many people have gotten off of insulin, saying, well, I'm trusting God. And then they blacked out. You don't get off the medications and stuff until you're healed. You'll know. Amen? You'll know. Now, there's a place where we know that, in other words, even in our program, we know that some people were put on certain medications, mental medications, that are not needed. They're not needed. So we share with them, get off, quit them, and then come on in. Because there's no sense. In other words, they're still relying on that medication then to heal them when there's no need for it. Amen. So you have to, as your faith gets built up and you hear from God, and you'll know, you'll sense that refreshing. You'll know God touched you. You know something happened to you. Where healing comes. Where freedom comes. Amen? Now you can sit here and reject everything. Or accept it for everyone else, but not receive it for yourself. You got to be able to receive it for yourself. God deals with us as an individual. He's no respecter of person. He desires no one to perish. He desires to touch and fill and heal each and every one of us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and verses 1 through 5. Would you read it with me? Sow in the Spirit. Speak it out. The devil's got your mouth covered, rebuke them. Because next they'll have a loose around your neck. Hello? Read it with me. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Praise God. Now, your confession of this has just gone forth. Right? Now, the Word says it won't return void. So as it's returned, you're either going to receive it or reject it. Does everybody have that? You're either going to receive it or reject it. Now, you're not walking out in assumption. You're walking out in faith. Because the Word says that faith comes by hearing and by the Word of God. So we're accepting and receiving what Jesus has done. It said he paid the price for me and you on the cross. Amen. So he's guiding us to all truth, isn't he? He's drawing us to him. He's bringing us to that place for complete healing and freedom. But we've got to be willing to receive it. Would you turn to Proverbs 3? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and start at verse 3. And read it with me. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Cut it out. Just put that carnal stuff aside. You know, quit trying to figure everything out. Time to stop leaning on your own carnal understanding and get out of the woe is me and the self-pity and start trusting God. And he, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Well, listen, we're all here tonight, aren't we? We obviously acknowledged him and he directed our path, didn't he? So if you're listening to this tape, right, if you're in this room, if you're seeking healing, he has guided you to get healed, to get freed, to get delivered, and to get refreshed. Now we got to receive it, don't we? He says that if we'll acknowledge him, he'll direct our path. That's a process, isn't it? That's a process. Now, don't get me wrong. Many people have stood in healing lines and been healed, and many people haven't. All right? God works with each individual according to the way He is going to. Some people have been slam dunked, instantaneously healed. Some, it took a while. And then we'll always continue to try, walk in that healing by walking things out and preventing things from coming back on us. Right? It says in verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be what? Hell to your flesh." Hello? "Hell to your flesh and strength to your bones." You know what your bones produce? Marrow. It's a part of your blood, doesn't it? Produces red blood cells. Well, where does sickness begin? In your blood cells. So what does it say? Depart from evil. In other words, everything that is manifesting in the natural realm has a spiritual connection. Now, you can't blame it on if you stubbed your toe. Or if you're out playing football today and injured yourself, you can't blame that. But you can still receive the healing of Christ, can't you? Because His healing power never ceases. Now would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and we'll close at this. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, if you really get understanding, you know, when you cut yourself, you automatically believe that it's going to get healed. Does everybody understand that? I mean, think about that. You know, because we're brought up, we've had so many cuts and bruises, we've scraped our knees on the sidewalks, and we accepted, and received that it would heal. Well, why don't we do that with everything? Fear. That's right. Trying to figure it all out. Oh, in other words, what we do is we limit God. Well, He can heal my bruise and my bump and my scuffed knee, but I don't know about healing my heart or my cancer or HIV or diabetes or whatever. There's no difference. Does everybody understand that? There's no difference. See, God made these bodies to be self-healing. Does everybody understand that? The things that hinder us are things that we're attached to in the spirit. Amen? Did you ever notice how easy it is for a child? They get hurt and they're like, oh, and they're okay. But man, you become an adult, we got to figure it all out. We want to know the anatomy of what happened and what's this and whatever. You know? First thing people want to do is run to the doctor. And of course, the powers of darkness have put so much fear, I believe majority of 99% of the cancer is because of fear. They're afraid of getting it. You know, that opens the door to receiving it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. What do we have to do? In verse 6. Would you read it with me? Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, say that again. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. One more time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know what exalt means? Heal you, free you, deliver you, refresh you. Why? Because when this happens, it shows somebody that the hand of God was upon you. Casting all your cares upon Him, you think that might be a releasing of fear? Worry, anxiety, how about a little stress? What do you think? Come on. Casting all your anxiety, stress, and fear upon Him, for He loves you, He cares for you, and He wants to take your burdens. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Oh, you can hand over your depression, your oppression, and your possession. It says, resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody has the same fight. I don't care what your hindrance is. I don't care what your sickness is. I don't care what your disease is. I don't care what your torment is. I don't care what your oppression. I don't care what. Everyone has the same fight. God is not a respecter of person. He's willing to deliver and heal and refresh each and every one who's willing to get into that position to receive. Hello? Is it too simple? Well, we know where the battlefield is. It's called the mind. The mind. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Give Him your stuff that He can acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path and what to do, just like that man Nahum. Right? He wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't receive it. Finally, he gave up. He humbled himself and went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, which was cold and dirty. And God healed him. Sometimes it just doesn't look or feel right. But you got to do it. Amen?